Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back, Richard. Today we're going to talk about another article from Medium.com and written by your new...
Our friend.
Your new close
My
buddy.
My new.
You know, I have since written to him.
I know.
And asked if he would like to come on to... I haven't heard back yet.
This
is from Benjamin Hardy.
Right.
And it's entitled... Why You Should Be Planning for 2019, Not 2018.
I was fascinated by the title. I thought, now this is something new. I had to read this, right?
Right.
And it happened to fit with our thematic approach last week.
Right.
Was about what is success?
Right.
How to achieve it.
What gets in the way of success?
What are the challenges to success? And when I saw this, I thought, whoa, what does this title mean? Planning for 2019. I'm trying to get used to 2017, right?
That's right.
I can't believe how fast this year went.
Yeah.
You and I sort of look at the year in terms of our practice.
Right.
You know, what did we accomplish this year in our practice?
Exactly.
Because we've already got our families under control and that's humming right along perfectly.
You know.
But so it's in terms of the business, and so much happened this year, but the year went by so quickly.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Especially October, November.
Yeah.
So here we are at the end of the year, and I'm thinking 2018, but this article pops up and it said, you should be planning for 2019. So I had to read it and see what it was about.
Yes. And he makes a compelling point, or several compelling points, actually. And so we thought we would talk about that some today.
Right. He makes several compelling arguments for long-term planning.
Right.
And what does he start with?
Harry Potter.
That was good.
Harry
Potter and Star Wars.
Yeah. Which, if you're going to start anywhere,
man,
might as well start there.
Can't go wrong with two winners.
No.
But the point that he makes, of course, is that when J.K. Rowling sat down to write Harry Potter, she didn't sit down to write
a book,
a single volume.
Right.
She had a plan in mind for several volumes.
Right.
Likewise, George Lucas, when
right.
he planned Star Wars. I thought that was absolutely ingenious.
Right.
None of us knew at the beginning. I don't think any of us knew at the beginning. We knew there was a trilogy coming.
Yes. Well, I knew that... Well, when the first episode came out, it was entitled Episode 4.
Right.
So you knew that
threw everybody off.
Right. And I remember hearing since childhood that he had intended 9 movies.
Okay.
And he made those first 3.
But he sort of started in the middle.
Right.
And
he thought that the story of Luke Skywalker was the one that would really hook people.
Right.
As opposed to the story, because then you could go back and you could tell the story of Anakin Skywalker.
Right.
And now we're going into the future and you know.
We're not sure.
Right.
What we're going to discover. Darth Vader is dead, right?
Yes.
Right. So, no. But what I'm saying is when he did this, and the point that almost Dr. Hardy, I guess still Mr. Hardy because he's a PhD candidate
right.
somewhere. The point that he makes is that you have to have a long-term plan,
right.
long-term goals.
Right.
And on that premise, he puts together this article.
Well, it goes along with what we talked about earlier this
right.
week with, mm-hmm. you know, when you set goals,
right.
the, what was it that, I can't remember. It was just in my mind. Was it success is the antithesis of growth?
Right.
Because once you feel as though you have succeeded,
right.
you're going to, that oftentimes leads to the stop of growth. And so
right.
that's sort of what he's talking about here, that if you set a goal that's mm-hmm. short term,
right.
that's narrow and very confined,
mm-hmm.
once you achieve that, then you're done.
Right, right.
And he's saying that, you know, if you set your goals more broadly,
mm-hmm.
More long term,
right.
then you're going to continue to grow, you're going to continue to develop.
Right. And one of the things, a recurring theme in our in the podcast from last week was, it's not success that you want to achieve. Right. It's growth.
Right.
Because you have to be continually growing.
Right.
Not succeeding.
Yeah.
And that's the problem that most of us have, is we think in terms of success.
Right.
Where actually what you want to do is you want to continue growing.
Right.
And we talked about the concept of an apprentice, mm-hmm. who's constantly learning. And I think at one point he said that an expert is somebody who has who continued the internship or
right.
the apprenticeship.
Right.
Is that you're continually learning.
Right. Yes, and I think that I mean, that's something that I tell my graduate students, and I'm sure that you tell right. your graduate students, is that we're here and we're learning, right. what we can learn
right.
here in graduate school, but your process of learning is going to continue.
Right.
And I know that when I talk to teenagers, and we talk about studying,
mm-hmm.
and I might say something like, when I was in studying this morning before I started seeing my patients. They look at me puzzled.
Right.
What are you studying for? You're already
right.
working and everything. Well, you have to keep going. You have to continue.
Well, we call a PhD a terminal degree.
Right.
When it's actually a beginning.
That's right.
It's the start of
that
your
process
career.
Keeps going.
Right. Now you can begin your career. The real work begins
right.
when you have your PhD, but it's called a terminal degree. Anyway, right. there are a couple of major points in this article that I want to emphasize.
This is a longer article
long.
From
yeah.
what we've seen from him before,
right.
but it's great because he provides so much information in
right.
this article.
Right. And one of the first things before we leave J.K. Rowling and...
I don't know if people can hear that. Can you hear that?
I want...
The air conditioner came
oh,
on.
That's right.
And yes, it is December... 9th or December 8th, and the air conditioner is running here.
So there's some animal got his tail stuck in there.
So those of you who are not in Florida and it's snowing and stuff, yes, we have the air conditioner on
right.
at 7 o'clock in the morning right. on today.
Right.
So,
but before we leave this, the stories of Star Wars and Harry Potter, one of the points that Mr. Hardy makes is that I'm going to call him Benjamin. That Benjamin makes is that we write our own story.
Right.
So keep that in mind. And sort of the overarching theme of this is that you're in charge.
Right.
You write your own story.
Mm-hmm.
So when you write your own story, don't write it as though it's a single volume.
Right.
There are numerous volumes,
right.
And it continues. And the advice that he gives us at the outset is you begin with the end in mind.
Right.
You start with the end. Where's this going?
Right.
Where are you headed? And he talks about who's Azeroth, this psychologist. I meant to look it up and I forgot.
I don't know that.
I don't know
heard
the
that person.
It's like everybody knows these names.
Yeah.
I don't know this name, but he talks about setting. He set the goal at. He set his goals at 19.
Mm-hmm.
What he wanted to do, and though it may have turned out differently, he was committed to them. And,
right.
And so, but this whole article begins with you're the author of your own
right.
narrative. You're the author
right.
of your own story. And you are in control.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that that goes along very well with another one of the podcasts we did earlier this week with
mm-hmm.
about changing your story for success.
Right.
Because it is your story. So
right.
when he is. I think there's a number of things, many things that he has in this article that are spot on,
right.
and one of them is that he talks about the relatively few people who live with this mentality,
right.
with this mindset.
Right.
Most people, they set goals, they set some expectation for themselves,
right.
some anticipation for something, and it's very confined. It's generally relatively
mm-hmm.
short term, usually
right.
within a few months, maybe a year.
Right.
But that's about it.
Right.
And in fact, I meant to tell you this. I was taking a webinar and they were talking about planning and building a practice and building a business and everything. And in it they said that it is that you want to sort of think about the future a little bit, but that you don't want to go much more than a year out because so many things change. And I remember thinking at the time that you have to think about so many things
right.
in preparation
mm-hmm.
that you easily get past a year.
Right.
And most business plans go five, ten,
right.
if not farther. And I remember hearing that, thinking that it was very odd. And he addresses it you know, very specifically here that right. we need to be thinking not just 1 year ahead, but, you know, 3, 5, 7.
Right. And, where do you want to be 5 years from
right.
now? I mean, that's the goal.
Yeah.
Where do you see yourself 5 years from now? Because in order to get, if you don't know where you're going, if you don't know what your objective is, how are you going to get
right.
there? And he uses a word commitment,
mm-hmm.
which I really like. He,
right.
he differentiates between are you interested or are you committed? And that,
yes.
that's a second major point.
Yeah.
First major point is you write your own story. Second major point is are you interested or committed?
Right.
And when I read that, I had a pang of guilt
mm-hmm.
because I've been interested in a lot of things, but I haven't been committed.
Right.
And guilty is charged on that one.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that we all have.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very... That struck me as well, because I think that when we set goals, we say, man, it would be great to be able to do that.
Right.
And that those aren't the words of commitment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, words of commitment are, man, I'm going to do that.
Right.
Or I can't wait until
right.
I've accomplished that. And we downplay the subtlety or the importance of the words we use at those times.
And how many times have you asked a student or your children, what are you interested in studying?
Right. Yeah.
And we're already in the trap.
Yes.
And I didn't even realize it. You know, because when you ask somebody, what are you interested in?
Right.
You know, what are you committed to?
Right.
What are you passionate
right.
about? Remember we talked in one of the podcasts last week about if you have to ask somebody
right.
whether you should do it or not, the answer is no.
Right.
Because you're really not committed to it.
Right.
You know, you're trying to figure out what the least objectionable
mm-hmm.
goal, you
right.
know, as it were. But if you're really committed to something, you don't need anybody else's approval.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And that commitment
right.
is what I know that I value when I see that in someone.
Right.
You know, when you see someone, we have patients or students that we've worked with who are committed to something,
mm-hmm.
and the passion and the drive that they have to reach that goal
right.
is incredibly right. impressive.
And I like the 8% statistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
you were mentioning that earlier, is that most people have this casual approach to their
right.
life, to their goals.
Right.
You know, I'm interested in, I'd like to lose weight. I'd like to actually, you know, you're
right.
you're sort of interested in doing this. You'd like to do them.
Right.
But without a commitment, you're not. And
right.
and the statistic he provides to support that is that 8%, as we approach New Year's Eve,
right.
8% of us accomplish our New Year's resolutions, you know, which
only 8%.
Right. That's amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So very few people, as he says,
right.
live by this means. We live with the idea that
mm-hmm.
we're going to set these long-term goals and be committed to them.
Right.
You know, when you ask your kid, are you going to go to college? And say, I think so. Okay. So we need a plan, because as soon as you say I think so, that probably means that there's no commitment, that
right.
it's not a
right.
a certainty,
mm-hmm.
and so you have to have multiple things in place.
Right.
If you think, man, I would really like to get a new job this year,
mm-hmm.
okay, then some part of you needs to be preparing to stay in your current job,
mm-hmm.
because if you're saying I would like to, you're probably not very committed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's, and again, I'm going to go back to vocabulary. I think that there's
right.
so much importance in our vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
What word we use to describe these things that we're feeling or,
right.
or thinking about or
mm-hmm.
want to do. When I was talking with my graduate students the other night, and we were kind of talking about vocabulary, and we were talking about the fact that we can only experience things, or we can only share our experiences of things, you know, based upon any limitations in our
right.
vocabulary, in our
right.
language.
Mm-hmm.
If you're feeling a particular emotion, you can describe it in the words that you have.
Right.
And those words may or may not be sufficient for someone else
right.
to understand what you're experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that similar importance of verbiage is critical here.
Right. Yeah, because if you're writing your own story,
mm-hmm.
what that and you want the story to turn out as you want it to, as you really want it to, you have to have a commitment. Okay, in order to have what he quotes Tony Robbins on this, that mm-hmm. you have to be committed,
right.
but you have to be flexible.
Right.
So there is a common sense approach to this mm-hmm. that yes, you need to be committed, but you don't control all the external variables.
Right.
When I was at the University of Texas, I use it in my courses now. Claire Ellen Weinstein's model of the things we can control and mm-hmm. the things we can't control.
Right.
So she put a pyramid inside a rectangle, and she said, the three parts of the pyramid you can control.
Right.
The four parts of the rectangle you can't control.
Right.
You know, you're at this university, you have this library, you have these computers. Those are the things. So you accommodate to the...
Right.
There are things that you can't control.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be elections. There are going mm-hmm. to be natural disasters. How
right.
about Irma?
Mm-hmm.
Who could have predicted that? And
right.
how that changed all of our plans for mm-hmm. the fall. And so, yes, other things will happen.
Right.
But you maintain the commitment. Flexibility, but commitment.
And the other quote that I like in this section is he says that goals are means,
right.
not ends.
That's right.
So
I was...
You
that
had
one
that
struck
goal.
Me too.
Yeah, yeah.
I never thought about that.
Well, I can't wait till we get to the quote that I used for the title of this one. You know, he says, don't plant trees,
right.
plant an orchard.
Right.
And that is, you know, I think that symbolism is so, mm-hmm. Again, just so important, because what he's saying is, you know, when you plant one tree, you're putting everything, all the eggs in
right.
one basket. You're putting
right.
everything right there mm-hmm. in that one.
Right.
If you plant an orchard, then you have lots of it, and there's the opportunity,
right.
the potential for success is far mm-hmm. greater.
Yeah. And you know that quote about orchards instead of trees, he quotes a billionaire later on in the article, which struck a note for me, because we see a lot of our patients are starting to apply for college
mm-hmm.
or they're in high school, and so...
Right.
And I think we'll get to that in a minute,
mm-hmm.
about that quote, but about planting an orchard, you know, rather than just accumulating a bunch of
right.
things, accumulating a bunch of activities,
right.
you know, that but there's no theme,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just a bunch of trees.
Yeah.
It's not an orchard.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll get to that in a minute.
I was looking for this quote too, because we were talking about Asaroff just a minute ago,
right.
and he was talking about Asaroff had a mentor, and the mentor asked him, you know, are you interested in achieving these goals, or are you committed?
Right.
And Asaroff asked, what's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
And the mentor, this is a great line, if you're interested, you come up with stories, excuses, reasons, and circumstances
right.
about why you can't or why you won't. If you're committed, those go out the window. You just do whatever it takes.
That's right. That's right.
Whatever it takes. And so, you know, this is the direction that we're going with this the podcast today, is
mm-hmm.
that as you're setting goals, as you're looking ahead into 2018 and maybe 2019 or further,
mm-hmm.
the idea is that if you're going to set a goal, make sure it's a goal that you're committed to, because then you're going to put things into place that's going to make that goal happen.
You know, the other day we all frequently talk about millennials.
Yes.
Millennials are a source of consternation for so many
right.
baby boomers and,
yeah.
and Gen Xers. And I don't think we've made any definite decisions about millennials. I'm not sure anybody has.
We'll keep them for now.
But we'll keep the millennials?
Maybe a little okay. bit longer.
But one of the things we hear parents of millennials say is that my children don't seem to have a direction. They don't
mm-hmm.
seem to... You know,
right.
they're not interested in having a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they quit their jobs, or they start working and they quit. And, you know, it seems like a good job, but then they quit their
mm-hmm.
job. And I'm wondering, you and I have been having this discussion over the past couple of days, is that I wonder if either parents or and or teachers failed to instill this
mm-hmm.
kind of
right.
thinking
right.
into millennials, where they just said, look, if you just go to college... get all A's,
mm-hmm.
go to
mm-hmm.
the best college you can go to,
mm-hmm.
things are going to work out.
Right.
They don't.
Right.
It is not how it works.
Yeah.
College is not, your goal can't be to just finish college,
right.
because college is a beginning. We talked about that in
mm-hmm.
one of our podcasts, that, okay, now you have a college degree, now the work starts.
Right.
Okay, whether it's a PhD or a bachelor's degree or an associate's degree.
Right.
The degree is the beginning. It's
yes.
it's not, the, but I think we've told, I th- I'm afraid that we may have given millennials the message
right.
that your goal is to get a college degree and then everything else will work out.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
doesn't work that way.
Yeah, because and I can't remember. I was just looking to see. I've read like three or four other articles this morning,
right.
and so I can't remember if it was in this article or another one that we might do next week. But there was an article talking about the fact that what we do is we pack kids' schedules.
It's in this one.
It's in this one. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They pack kids' schedules so full
right.
that they become okay at a lot of different things.
Right.
And then they get through high school and they do the same thing. They, right. you know, they have incredibly busy schedules. And so, and we think that's going to make them very well-rounded.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it may make them well-rounded, but instead of being round, we want them to have a direction. We want them to have a focus.
Right.
But all of the edges are round. There's no point going in a particular direction.
That's right. It's Peter Thiel's quote. He's they just identify him as a billionaire. Peter Thiel has this. There it is right there. And he says in middle school, you know, when we have little kids.
I love that he says in middle school, we're encouraging to start hoarding extracurricular activities.
Hoarding is the right word. You start hoarding extracurricular. When you have young children, you say, okay, we're going to do piano, we're going to do taekwondo. So you do music, and you do martial arts, and you mm-hmm. do sports, and you do chess, and you do all these clubs.
Something every night.
Right, to see, and in a way, it's what are my kids interested mm-hmm. in? You know, which mm-hmm. ones are they going to have some interest, show some interest in?
Right.
You go to middle school, similar. You yep. go to high school, and what you're doing is you're hoarding these right. extracurricular activities.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it is, because when your kids are in high school, you hear parents talking about it. Well, you have to be in this club, and you have to be an officer, mm-hmm. and you have to be a sports, and you have to do this.
Yeah.
And you have to have this collection of extracurricular activities. But what he says is, by the time a student gets to college, he spent a decade curating a bewilderingly diverse resume mm-hmm. to prepare for a completely unknowable future. Come what may, he's ready for nothing in particular.
Right.
Because there's been no commitment.
Right.
They've done a bunch of stuff.
Yep.
I had a friend who used to say, it's a Mother Hubbard dress.
Mm-hmm.
It covers everything but touches nothing.
Yes.
You know? And that's what he's saying here, is that they're not, yeah, they have all these activities and they got into the college of their choice, but they're really not prepared for much.
Right, right. And the lack of direction, I think, is really what we complain about so much with the millennials.
Right.
They come out with this, you know, myriad skills.
They
can do lots of different things, a little bit.
Right. Right.
But they don't know what they want to be. We were talking about a person the other day who is incredibly bright, incredibly mm-hmm. talented, incredibly skilled, has been to, you know, college and I think law school and all these different things. And now he like wants to go and work with, you know,
wants to get in live performance.
Live performance.
Right.
And it's,
and I'm thinking,
you wonder why,
what messages did he get?
Yeah. Well, how did that path happen? Why? It's relatively rare, let's say it that way, that someone would, you know, in their mid to late 20s, all of a sudden decide, you know, with nothing, no history of it, all of a sudden decide that they want to be in the performing arts.
Yeah, it wasn't something he did through middle school. I mean, some kids get into acting, you know, they're in school plays and they go to school of the arts and that sort of thing. But, you know, with no background at all. So, somewhere in this person's life, he may have wanted to do that.
Right.
But he had to hoard
a
high GPA
and
all these extracurricular activities so that he would be able to apply to these competitive colleges.
Right.
You know?
And it's, certainly there's some level of expectation in there somewhere from either himself or probably from some family members that
right.
that's what he needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was overtly said or felt or,
right.
you know, subjectively interpreted.
My goodness, how many patients do you have who are doing things that they really don't like to do? It's
right.
not what they really wanted to do.
Right.
You know, I'd rather be a forest ranger, but my dad told me I had to be a dentist.
Right.
No, I hate being a dentist. I want
right.
to be climbing trees somewhere out in the far west.
Yeah.
But they're trying to fit themselves into these places where they don't fit very well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as we pull all this together, because we've kind of touched on a lot of different things.
Right.
So let's pull it all together into a nice little list.
Oh, you know, because the one thing, if you go up a little bit. We talk about making choices, and people who have, you know, we're encouraged to have high self, you know. There's a thing called expectancy theory, and how motivated you are depends on two things. Do I think I can do it? Do I think I can accomplish this thing? Do I have the ability, the skills? And the second is, do I value it?
Right.
You know, if you don't value it, or if you don't believe that you have the skills. Right. So having the skills is self-efficacy, okay? And
so self-efficacy is the possession of the skills.
Right, right, that you have. And then the other thing is, do I value it?
Right.
You know, and we've talked on the program before about locus of control.
Right.
You know, where, you know, we want people to have an internal locus of control so that they feel that they can, this feeling of I can. And it made me think of William Glasser.
Right.
Because later on, as we go through this, they talk about you make choices, but choices bring responsibility.
Right.
Okay. You have the choice to do it, but every choice has consequences.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so that locus of control, you either have an internal locus of control or an external locus of control. Right. People who are committed and take charge and, you know, and when I say take charge, I mean take charge of their own lives. Mm-hmm. They tend to have an internal locus of control. They they believe that they can do it, and they make the circumstances happen so that they can accomplish those goals. Right. Individuals with external locus of control tend to rely on others. And so one of the ways that we hear this, those of you with parents, those of you who are parents, not with parents, because all of you should have parents one way or another.
Right. Right.
Those of you who have kids, If your kid is saying, or if you see this pattern of behavior where I'm only happy when my friends are happy, or I'm only I'm only happy when the other people are around, or they're always sad because somebody else is sad, you know, that's sort of a mirroring type of external locus of control where they can't control their own emotions, they can't regulate their own emotions and feelings, and so they replicate the emotions of someone else.
Right.
And so they, whenever you see that, you know, that's a cue perhaps to talk with them, or maybe to have them talk to somebody to see where the problem is, what's creating the the issue that they can't regulate and control their own emotions. Because we should all be able to do something to lift our mood.
Right.
Now I recognize that with some issues, it's difficult. You know, when you have depression and anxiety, that's difficult. But that's the psychopathology that's making that struggle. For most of us, we should be able to turn our mood from negative to more positive. And we should be able to have that control over ourselves. And if we don't, then again, we maybe need some skills that we haven't yet developed.
I mentioned William Glasser a minute ago, and he argues very persuasively that he said, you have to make your decisions.
Right.
You have to make choices. If you're unhappy, it's because you're making the wrong decisions for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Okay. If you are doing what you really want to do, you're happy with whether you're alone or with a large group of people.
Exactly.
Okay. It shouldn't be the externals that make you happy. You can't be miserable in a job that you hate and then just be happy on Friday night.
Right.
Because it's the end of the week. That's not a way to live your life.
Right.
You have to choose, and you have to do what you can commit to.
Right. And he lists here what some of the research says as far as what happens when we have low self-efficacy and an external locus of control.
Right.
You know, we don't set challenging goals. Well, we could talk about challenging goals in a minute. We don't take leadership roles. We experience a lack of motivation, more pessimistic, you know, more stress, greater health problems, and you know, there's this huge list of
When I first read this, there are 11 things here that they say if you have low self-efficacy and an external locus of control, these are the 11 things you're going to run into. What I would advise readers to do is look at that list, and if those things apply to you, then you may be one of these
let's look
individuals,
back and see
that it may be a problem of self-efficacy and external locus of control. You don't have this feeling of I can. Okay, so maybe that's where you have to begin. Don't try to get happy by drinking or doing drugs, right, or, you know, turning to shortcuts. There's, yeah, something more fundamentally wrong, right, and it's probably has something to do with the choices you're making, right, or the commitments you didn't make.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So this now let's pull us all together.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, but there's I'm gonna look for something while you're doing that.
Yeah, there's a couple of others, okay, but you know, so we write our own story. Mm-hmm. And when we're writing our story, we have to have the long-term plan in mind. You know, where do you want to be 5 years from now? Where do you want to be longer than that, 7 years, you know, 10 years from now? So you're writing your own story, and you have to figure out what you're interested in versus what you're committed to.
Right.
You know, if it's something that you're committed to, that's going to be the direction that you're probably going, right, to be heading.
Right.
If it's something that you're just interested in, that's great, that's fine. But don't confuse that with that was going to be a little bit
Freudian.
Confrontational. No, confrontational. Because
you're not.
You don't want to confuse those things, because I think we fool ourselves, mm-hmm, by saying, yeah, we're really interested in it. Yeah, man, I really, really would like to do this.
Right.
And we act as though that's a real commitment, but it's not.
What you do is what you're really committed to.
Right.
Not what you say, not what you...
Right.
Yeah, it's what you do. That's what you're committed to.
Right.
And if you don't like where you are, mm-hmm, commit to what is important to you.
Right,
you know,
right.
Get up, get off the sofa. If you're and that's what William Glasser would say.
Right.
Is that if you're unhappy, if you're depressed, then get up and do what you really want to be,
right,
doing. Don't,
yeah,
be afraid, just go do it.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So as you're writing your own story, write the chapters about commitment.
Right.
What are you committed, right, to? And mm-hmm, go in that direction, because that's going to bring your self-efficacy, mm-hmm, and your internal locus of control. All of that is going to come naturally,
right,
when you're pursuing something that you're really committed to, not necessarily with the things that you're interested in. Now, we're certainly not saying don't have interests.
Right. Right. Right.
Interests mm-hmm, are great. And interests might become something that you're committed to.
Right.
That's
exactly
fine.
Mm-hmm.
But don't confuse the two in a sense that, you know, on December 31st, mm-hmm, you come up with your New Year's resolution, mm-hmm, that, you know, I'd like to lose, you know, 25 pounds in 2018. But you're not committed to it.
Right.
You're not committed to doing what you would have to do. And what I ask patients when they talk about some of these kinds of things, I say, well, the first question I have for you is, what are you willing to do to accomplish that goal?
And give up.
Right. Because you have to give things up.
Right.
Remember, we talked before in another podcast that change requires sacrifice. Change, mm-hmm, requires you to give up something that, right, you're doing now.
And for you 16, 18, 20, 24-year-olds who are trying to make these life decisions...
48-year-olds.
Don't be afraid. What teenagers frequently say, especially college students,
right,
they say, well, I'd really like to do this, but I'm kind of afraid. I'm not sure I can. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I should commit. If it's really what you want to do,
mm-hmm,
go do it, and you will find a way.
Right.
If you're not willing to do whatever it takes,
mm-hmm,
then don't go down that path.
Right.
Choose the path where you say, by golly, whatever I have to do, I'm going to do.
You know where you see this? I just when you were describing it that way, this is the difference between people. You know, if everything else is equal,
right,
the all the potentials are equal.
Right.
This is the difference between someone who makes it into major league sports and those who don't.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I grew up with a couple of guys who went on to play in the NFL, and those guys were not really any more inherently talented than some of the other guys on the football team,
right,
or who played sports. The difference was that their commitment had them in the gym every day during, mm-hmm, off season. They were,
right,
eating the way that they needed to eat. They were, you know, doing, mm-hmm, all the things that they needed to do,
right,
every day.
Right.
Whereas these other folks weren't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they worked really hard during the football season, but in the off season they didn't do much.
Right.
And so when,
right,
we see this with the patients that we talk to sometimes, especially high schoolers,
right,
and they say, well, what do you want to do when you grow up? And they say, oh, I want to be I'm going to play in the NFL. I said, well, you know, have you played football? Mm-hmm. No, I've never played football before. Okay, you're 16 and you've never played football before, and you're going to, well, I just figured that I would play in college. How are you going to play in college if you haven't even played in high school?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's this idea that would be interesting. I'd be really interested in being able to do that. But there's no commitment to it.
Right.
And not that I'm encouraging anybody to play football, because you know, we could talk about concussions all day long. But
and children have, I don't know, maybe we're not raising our children properly to get them to think this way.
Right.
I mean, when you think of only 8% will make their New Year's resolutions,
maybe there's a lot of adults that aren't thinking this way.
Right. It's something that we don't do, because last week we talked about the 7 seconds.
Right.
You know, that you set out. You don't think in terms of, you know, the championship. You think, because what you have to be able to do is, once you've set this long-term plan, then you have to be able to go back and say, okay, what do I need to do today to get there? Because you are committed, so you're willing to do the work.
Right.
But the important thing is knowing what to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he says in this article that the greatest lie being pushed today is that we are not in control in what happens in our own life.
That's right.
And again, you know, I think that this is a recurring theme that a lot of people express. Well, I just can't, you know, because of this, and I can't because of that, and I didn't because of this. And we come up with and generate all of these reasons, these excuses,
right?
And we don't. What that tends to do is fail to apply the responsibility in the right place.
Right.
If I don't accomplish something, it's because I didn't accomplish something.
Right.
Something may have gotten in the way. It's frustrating. You know, again, those of you who are students, it's frustrating as an instructor when I give you an assignment in the syllabus on the first night of class, and I say this assignment is due November
3 weeks from now, 5 weeks from now, 10 weeks from now.
This is when it's due, and then the night that it's due, you say I didn't get it done because you know, we had an emergency in the family this past weekend, and I didn't get it done. You've had 10 weeks.
Right.
But we put things off. And he talks about, you know, that idea of putting things off today for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And all it does is it makes today empty.
Right.
It doesn't allow us to accomplish anything today.
That's right. And when you talk about doing, when you talk about your choices, if you choose to stay in bed...
Right.
That's a choice you've made, okay?
Which is fine.
It is who you are.
Right.
Okay. If you choose to spend your evenings, we interviewed an exercise guru from Ireland.
Brian Keane.
Fantastic interview. Ago. And he used to spend his evenings watching TV and eating Hershey's or something.
Hershey bars.
And if that's how you spend your evening, then... I can tell you exactly what the consequences will be of that. But if you choose, but you have to make another decision.
Right.
And that's what he did.
If
he
you want to change.
He made another decision.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so those decisions are in our control.
Right. That's right. It's my choice.
Right.
I can't blame anybody else
for
me being on the sofa.
Those of you who are listening to this podcast, if you are listening to this podcast and you're a teenager, these things are in your control. Yes, you live within the confines and boundaries of your parents.
Right.
But within every set of boundaries, there are opportunities to accomplish goals.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Positive goals. You know, certainly we're not talking about crazy goals that you want to, you know, I want to be able to hang out at the, you know, club all night or something like that. You know, that's different. But if you, whatever your goal is, the opportunity is there. You just have to take it. You just have to find it. Opportunities are not going to be given to you.
No.
And this is the importance of that commitment, because when you're committed to something, you're going to find those opportunities.
You will create your own destiny.
Right. Yeah. Right. You will find them, you will create them yourself if you
have to. That's right. That's what you're doing.
Right.
You're creating. Again, we go back to the beginning of this podcast where we said you write your own story.
Absolutely.
And you can't blame anybody else. You write your own story.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what Benjamin nicely pulls this into is the idea of responsibility.
Right. I like the ends on responsibility.
Yes. Because what he says is, it is your It is your responsibility to take control of that.
That's right.
And the reason that many of us don't is because we don't want that responsibility. Maybe that's because we don't, the fear of failure.
Right.
Maybe it's because we feel like we don't have the skills, which goes back to the self-efficacy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Whatever the reason, many people avoid taking that responsibility.
Right.
And but it does come back to, if you want to accomplish these things, you have to take that responsibility.
It's yours.
It's yours.
you are making the decision.
Right.
Okay. First of all, you have a right to choose.
Right.
Okay. We all have that.
Well, those are the three R's, right?
Right. Yeah. And so you, it's your choice. It's your decision.
Right.
But with decision, when you make that decision, you also have responsibility.
Right.
And you, one of the responsibilities is to accept the consequences of
right.
that decision. You can't spend your evenings sitting on the sofa eating chocolate and then mm-hmm. complain that you look the way you do,
right.
or you feel the way you do.
Yeah.
Or you, you know, that you're,
yeah. Well, those are the three R's. Well, you said two of the R's. There's a third R.
Right.
So the first is the right to choose.
Yeah.
The responsibility to choose.
Right.
And then the results of the choice.
That's right.
So those are the three components. And I
put those three R's down somewhere.
Right.
You know, put them on the mirror.
Yeah.
You know, the three R's.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people avoid them.
That's right.
A lot of people do not want to take that type of responsibility. They want the right.
Right.
They want, you know, the positive results, but they're not willing to take the responsibility because of the risk of the negative results.
And to the millennials, I would say, okay, maybe you were duped.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the baby boomers did lie to you. Maybe we gave you the wrong thinking path. Maybe.
Right.
But let me tell you something. You made decisions.
Right.
These were your choices. They may have come from sources that we don't know about, but they were your choices.
Right.
They were your decisions.
Right.
Whatever you majored in, how well you did, how mm-hmm. hard you studied, what kind of a commitment you made to your studies, what school you went to.
Right.
Those were your decisions.
Right.
And now you have the results of those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like where you are, if you don't like where you ended up, then recommit
mm-hmm.
and head in the direction that you really want to be.
Right.
Don't sit and blame others
right.
because you were lied to. You're young.
Mm-hmm.
You're well educated.
Mm-hmm.
Make a different commitment.
Right. Absolutely. So here's how he pulls it all together.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And he does so nicely with the Abraham Lincoln
That was
quote.
A good quote. I didn't know that Lincoln
The
said
best
it.
Way to predict your future is to create
it. To create it.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell my brother that. He's a big Lincoln fan.
Oh, know? Yeah.
Albert, he loves
Lincoln. Yes. So the first thing is, of course, is that you're in control. You know, you are in control of what happens to you.
Right.
Yes, there are external factors that influence you. Irma, you can't control those kinds of things.
Right.
But you can control your response to it. You can control how you deal with
mm-hmm.
it. You're in control of you.
Right.
The second thing is that you have to believe in your own ability.
Right.
We could do a single podcast on all
right.
of these different things. But right. you have to believe in your ability.
Mm-hmm.
We doubt ourselves. And we allow that. We sort of put on the facade that we're confident in ourselves, even when we're not confident in ourselves. And so what that does is that just stifles everything. It prevents you from being able to grow because you don't have the skills.
Right.
But you're also lying to yourself and everyone else, so you're not developing the skills.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you don't have the skills, get the skills.
Right. That's right. You know, we're all... We have to be practical, of course. I'm not sure that I could have been a nuclear physicist because I didn't have the training and background.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I may or may not have had the ability. I'll never know that. Okay. What I do know is that I didn't get that kind of an education.
Right.
Okay. But if... Don't stop thinking about your ability.
Right.
Okay. If you really want something, you will do what it takes to get there.
Right.
Example. Students want to... go to graduate school
mm-hmm.
after college.
Right.
But they need a certain grade point average. What people did at the University of Texas is they would say, okay, I want to go to law school, but I have to have a certain grade point average.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not good at algebra.
Right.
So instead of taking algebra at the University of Texas,
right.
I'm going to take it in the summer at Austin Community College.
Right.
Because I know I can handle it if I just take one course in the summer.
Right.
at a community college.
With a smaller class.
Smaller class, different teacher, different right. sorry, I can get the A and then transfer it to the university. That's what we mean by commitment.
Right.
Okay. You will always find a way. You will create your own destiny.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so what you're doing is you're looking at your ability. You believe in your ability.
That's right.
And I can see maybe how it's a little bit, could be a little bit gray for folks, but you believe in your ability, but believing in your ability doesn't mean that you're fooling yourself or trying to say that you can do something that you can't do. It's knowing what you can and can't do and then supplementing where you have to.
And when we talk about ability, we're not talking about your intellectual ability. I
right.
think the other mistake that people make is, well, I'm not smart enough.
Yeah.
We're not talking about your intellectual ability. We're talking about your ability to succeed.
Right.
I will figure out a way to succeed.
Right.
Okay? If you're a college student, you've had the education training background to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're not talking about your measured IQ.
Right.
We're talking about your ability to figure it out
right.
and accomplish what you set out to do.
Right.
If you're committed, you will figure out a way to do it.
Right.
That's what we mean by ability.
Right.
Not what your IQ is.
Right. And remember, the goal that you're working towards is bigger. It's not a finite
right.
point.
Right.
It's a big concept. You know,
right.
you're not going to say, I want to be a oncologist that works in New York City and lives
right.
on this road
mm-hmm.
And has a practice in this building.
Right.
You know, it's not going to be that fine of a point. It's going to be, I want to work in the medical field.
I want to be in the medical field.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so whether you're a physician or not, you may be a nurse, you may be a, you know, a
mm-hmm.
PA, you may be lots of different things, but that's the goal.
That's your
direction you're headed to.
This is what you're committed to. You're not committed to raising horses. You're not committed to being a commercial fisherman. You're
right.
committed to the medical profession.
Right.
Or you're committed to teaching.
Right.
Okay. That's what we're talking about with the commitment. It's a general commitment. Not,
right.
Not I have to be at Mount Sinai.
Right.
In this office.
Right.
Yeah.
So the first one is you got to believe that you're in control.
Right.
You have to understand that you're in control.
Mm-hmm.
That you believe in your own ability.
Right.
The third thing is that you're responsible for your choices.
Right.
And the fourth thing is that you have to have hope that you'll seek, that what you seek, what you're
right.
wanting is going to come about.
Right.
So this is that positive affirmation,
that's
that
right.
anticipation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You have to hold that. And he talks a little bit about hope theory. And
yeah, it has to be positive hope.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can't replace hard work with hope. But you have to have the hope, you have to have the belief
mm-hmm.
that you're going to succeed.
Right. And when you have those four things and mm-hmm. you're working towards your goal,
right.
the fifth
Far
thing is going
likely.
To come easy.
Right.
And that's the fifth thing is that you're motivated.
Right.
You know, when you're in control, when you believe in yourself
right.
and you're accomplishing and you're setting the goals and you're taking responsibility,
mm-hmm.
You're going to have the motivation to push through.
Right.
It's just going to happen.
That's right.
You know, how do we get our kids motivated? This is
yeah.
how we do it.
Yeah.
We help them find what they're committed to.
Mm-hmm.
If they're committed to video games, fine. That'll be all right. However, let's talk about what that means.
That's right. There are results.
Right. Let's talk about what it means to be committed to video games.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, because the reality is that it's going to be incredibly difficult for you to talk them out of it
mm-hmm.
just by talking
right,
to them.
Right.
You have to have them work through this process.
Right.
That's an okay thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if they stay committed to it, that too
right.
is maybe completely frustrating to you. Fine. That's
mm-hmm.
what they want to do. But here's what we have to do while you're working in that direction.
Yeah, because playing video games doesn't give you the engineering background to
right.
be a game developer.
Right.
Okay. To be a game developer requires
right.
a different set of skills.
Right.
Okay. So,
yeah.
But that's what we mean by results. You know, they're going
right.
to be consequent. For whatever decision you make, there are
mm-hmm.
going to be results and consequences.
Right.
And if you're just going to play video games for 5 hours a day,
yeah.
this is where it's going to end up.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and you may need some help with that. You know,
right.
you may need to have...
That's why we have parents.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, kids could make their own decisions at 10.
Yeah.
But you don't make good decisions
exactly.
at 10.
Exactly.
You have to know this kind of stuff.
I think that's all. Anything else?
I like this. I would highly recommend that you take a look at this one for yourself as well as for your children.
There's so much information in this article. You know, it was a challenge at times to pull it all together because there was so much that came to it. So
yeah, when there were a couple of sections here where they have subtitles in it, I thought, am I reading is this the same article or is this a different? Have we changed to a different article? But it is. It's a little bit longer than what we usually do.
Yeah.
But certainly manageable and lots and lots of good information.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the link is in the show notes, so you can check it out.
Right. Good news today.
So follow us. Make sure you're following us on YouTube and iTunes and all the other
eyes
and tunes and Twitters and Facebooks and all that kind of good stuff. Follow us and share us with other people. We had I didn't tell you this. We had a very nice review on iTunes. So we really appreciate the review on iTunes. Please.
You didn't tell me that.
I didn't. I know. That was a little surprise.
Was it a good review?
It was a nice review. It was 5 stars and everything.
Can we make any changes based on that?
It didn't say
any recommendations.
You know what? It said that we were doing a nice job. That it was that they appreciated the variety of topics that we covered on the podcast.
Okay.
So,
thank you for doing that.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, please, if you have the opportunity, jump on and write a review, rate us, because it does increase sort of our visibility on iTunes. And I still enjoy the communication with viewers and listeners through YouTube.
Right.
That's been really nice. But we've been announcing the last couple of weeks about our Patreon page, patreon.com/TheMentalBreakdown. And we have our first patron.
Contributor, yes. Our first patron.
So we really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. We are now on our way to hopefully getting some of the help that we need to do more.
Right.
That's
really there's the so much that we want to do next year. Speaking of commitments.
Yes.
And 2019 and 2020.
Yeah.
But we need time.
Right.
You know, we don't, and so we want to get somebody in here who can do some of this technical stuff.
Yes.
My daughter was just talking about that at her place of employment yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So we need some nerds in here to do all this computer stuff. She said, we can figure it out ourselves, but we're spending a lot of time.
Right.
And that's exactly the predicament that you're in right now. Eventually you can figure it out, but it's an enormous amount of time. So we need somebody who can come in here with background and do all this technical work that you don't have to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. I could hear her using the word nerds.
Yes.
Talking about that.
She said, I need a nerd. She told her boss, I need a nerd. I need some nerds in here to do this stuff.
And I'm going to get her a box of those candies.
We're going to
get her a box of those candies. Candies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's coming for you.
But and they're having the same problem there. You know, that they need somebody to take care. And that's what we're looking for is somebody that we can turn the technical stuff over to, which frees us up to do all the background work and preparatory work.
Absolutely. So, all right. That is it for today. Thank you so much for listening and watching, or however you're consuming this podcast.
Right.
But we will be back next week with some more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So until
putting it together now.
Yes, we are. So until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.